This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to another edition of Washtenaw United. It is our weekly feature dedicated to exploring issues of equity and opportunity through the diverse voices of our community. Washtenaw United comes to you in partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County. Now, we know that literacy and educational achievement are key components to greater opportunity for lifelong success. And while there are issues that span across color and gender lines, there's an undeniable achievement gap in K-12 schools between white students and students who are black or brown. We often focus on what is being taught and how. An often overlooked issue is who is doing the teaching. It is that component that has prompted two area women to initiate the local Black Men Read program. One of our guests today is co-founder of that program. Dr. Tamara Tucker Ibarisha earned her doctorate in cellular and molecular biology from the University of Michigan and is currently lecturing at Eastern Michigan University. She and her husband live in Ypsilanti with their two school-aged daughters, and welcome to Washtenaw United.
Thank you very much.
And our second guest today is Minister Daryl Johnson. The minister is a volunteer with the Black Men Read program. He lives in Ann Arbor, and three of his five children have graduated from the Ann Arbor Public Schools, and the other two are scheduled to graduate in the years to come. Minister Johnson, thank you so much for the time today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So, Tamara, let's set a baseline for our conversation. Explain the circumstances under which you teamed with United Way of Washtenaw County Board Chair Yodit Mesvin Johnson to launch Black Men Read.
Yodit and I, our children go to school together, and so she and I met in that context, and we were in a conference room together, and I was hearing her have a conversation, organizing some things, and just immediately recognized that, you know, she was a person that was about making things happen, and I was like, you know, you sound like somebody I need to know. Let's get the kids together and kind of chat and see where connections overlap. And so we had this conversation, and we talked a little bit about, of course, our children, and our visions and dreams for projects we were working on and things that we were creating. And out of that conversation came the issue of thinking a little bit about what we could do for our children and also to support and promote Black-owned businesses in the local area. And so we thought about creating a story time at one of the local Black bookstores. So Blackstone Bookstore is right here in Ypsilanti. And specifically, Yodit really brought the context of thinking about having a program that centered around Black men being the readers in that program. And this came out of some experiences she had at her son's school, where the teacher was looking for Black men who would come into the classroom and read. And us just kind of understanding that is a rare thing. In elementary schools, you have very few men that are in those settings, and even less Black male teachers or people who are in those settings. And so the teacher had reached out. So we kind of fused these things together and created this Black Men Read program.
And Daryl, with the myriad of endeavors you're involved with out in the community, what brought you to Black Men Read?
Well, kind of just what she just said about the absence of Black men, and just wanted to be a part of it. And once I saw the children's faces, it was like, oh, yes, this is the place I need to be and want to be. I just get excited every time I get an opportunity to read with the children.
I want to be very clear, and I want to make sure that everyone understands. There's a possibility that some might walk away from a conversation like this thinking that the perception is that literacy is exclusively a Black issue, that there are misperceptions in the community that Black men are not involved with children, they're not involved in the schools, and they're not taking responsibility. And Tamara, I know that that was, beyond literacy, a primary focus of what you wanted to accomplish, is to kind of change that perception.
Absolutely. I think those of us who are engaged in our communities and in our families understand that there are Black men in our families, right? There are Black men in our communities, in our churches, in our organizations. And so we wanted to really use this program as an opportunity to highlight that beyond the scope of just Black communities, where I think we all know and understand that Black men are not actually absent or missing, but that they're present and are, in fact, a vital part of those families. families and communities and organizations. And so it's about sharing that, I think, with the broader community and being able to do that through this vehicle of literacy. So the program is definitely focused on literacy, and I think that's where my role as an educator kind of comes in terms of understanding that literacy is a gateway to learning, and learning is really a gateway to opportunity. It's to being able to kind of create a reality that you want, but we can interlace that with crafting this narrative around the really important and meaningful role that Black men play in our families, in our communities, and the society.
Another misperception about this program might be that it is only for Black children, and it is open and everyone is welcome. And in fact, that goes a long way towards accomplishing the goal you've just kind of laid out, right?
Absolutely. So we feel like all children can benefit from creating a love of literacy, creating a love of storytelling, and being able to see those stories through the lens of someone else, right? And so our stories that we read feature Black characters, and of course our readers are Black men. And I think that it is a valuable opportunity for everyone to see that when we can look at the world and our human experiences through the lens of someone else's experience, what we really find is that our experiences are the same, and we find those connections there. So it's for everyone.
And Daryl, I want to come back to that. From being a volunteer reader, you mentioned that the reaction of the children has been spectacular for you.
In my first read, I walked into the classroom, and I think it was probably 15 kids, and maybe one of the kids were Black. And it threw me off because I was kind of anticipating that I'm reading to Black children, right? And I'll tell you another story that kind of ties into that. I used to drive a cab, and I remember picking up a lady, a grandmother, and I believe she was Chinese, and she was picking up her kids from school. And I remember her speaking to what I assumed was her grandchild in Chinese. And though I couldn't understand what she was saying, I knew the love that she was providing for that grandchild. And so, you know, when we look at our children, like those children looked at me, and as I was reading, they didn't know Black or white, right? They just were into the stories. They were into the dialogue that I was having to them, and it was just a marvelous time. So it really is a special program. I really thank these ladies for doing it and making it happen and giving us that opportunity.
Washtenaw United continues on 89.1 WEMU. We're talking about the Black Men Read program with co-founder Dr. Tamara Tucker Ibarisha and reading volunteer Minister Daryl Johnson. Now, Tamara, I know that you are aware of this study. It comes out of Johns Hopkins University, and it found that if a Black student has just one Black teacher by third grade, that student's 13% more likely to enroll in college. Those with two Black teachers, 32% more likely. Is it the modeling and demonstration of possibility that makes a difference? It is a social comfort and sense of trust in learning from someone who looks more like you, maybe a bit of both?
I think it's a bit of both. It's something that we see consistently when you look at things. We're thinking about educational outcomes in this context. If you look at social determinants of health, if you look at healthcare, what we understand is that it is important for people to be able to see reflections that affirm them. And I think that is true for Black children as it is for every child. And so I think that's why those statistics are meaningful and why the work we're doing with Black Men Read is meaningful. But I think it's all of those things.
Minister Johnson brought up a great point that when children are in those early grades, they recognize that they may look a little different based on skin color, but they don't have that social context of why race has become so important as people have grown older, that socialization and the implicit bias that comes with it. How do you use what you have learned through your personal experience to kind of attack that issue?
I think at the level of children, and this is where I think I come from it, come to it from a mom's perspective. You know, my daughters are in their early elementary school grades, and I remember conversations with them where I could see them crafting their awareness of racial difference and crafting their stories. And I think that's the most important thing. They show up here on this planet being able to see, so they can see differences, but they don't have a story yet about what those differences mean or why those differences are important. And so I think that because this program is primarily geared towards elementary school age children, we are not overtly saying to them, hey, these differences don't matter, or hey, we shouldn't be paying attention to this. What we're trying to really say through the relationship that we build, and that's relationship with the stories that we read, but also relationship with our readers, is that, you know, that lens of race doesn't have to be the defining characteristic of who you relate to, who you interact with,
and
who
how
you care about, and how they care about you, and how. Right. So I think we're really trying to use normalization to take that story and hopefully push it to the background.
And proliferate it through the community.
Right, right.
And Daryl, has your involvement in the program had that kind of reward for you that perhaps it's changed some of your perceptions and impressions?
Definitely. Just in looking at, you know, doing some other volunteer in the high school, now I'm just so aware that young people need to see me. Right. I can pray for you at church, but it's like I need to be out in the community and be involved. And even the story I was sharing with a young man today about something that happened in my past that somebody else may have not been able to connect with him. You know, so just being able to tap into that has been a great benefit of the program and working with these young ladies. They're so brilliant that they just always kind of like push me to another level in my thinking and how I see things. So.
Fascinating. When we discuss equity of opportunity, what we find all too often is what we're dealing with and trying to overcome is inequity. In 2018, WalletHub ranked Ann Arbor as the most educated city in the world. That same report, however, ranked Ann Arbor 138th out of 150 global cities when it comes to the achievement gap between whites and people of color. Is that a surprise to either one of you?
That's not a surprise. I think that this is a conversation that's been happening in Ann Arbor and in the public schools for a very long time. And I think that even though in the United States we are integrated, most of us in our communities and in the circles where we socialize are still extremely segregated. And so outcomes often track with those pockets where we exist. So you can be a child in Ann Arbor, but your experience as a black child in Ann Arbor is going to be different than someone else's experience in Ann Arbor. So I guess I should say, unfortunately, I'm not surprised about that ranking, but I think it just shows us that we have an opportunity to try to really address that in a meaningful way. And I think having such an highly educated population says to me that we should be able to do this here. You know, it's like we have the resources, we have the understanding and the ability to try to do something about that.
We talked about how important it is to have exposure and the modeling of people that look like us to teach to us. So might part of this program one day become to expand into recruitment of people of color into the teaching profession?
We have definitely had those conversations. I think that that would be something that would be really dynamic. You know, one of our goals would be to have every child in Ann Arbor Public Schools to experience a story with one of the readers from Black Men Read, and that exposure might be something that's meaningful. But yeah, I think we have big dreams and visions. What would happen if we had a black teacher at every school in Ann Arbor or in Washtenaw County? What would that do, not just for the black children who are there, but for all of the children who are there?
And Minister Johnson, as our time winds down together, I want to ask you this. You have said that you put your religious faith first, your neighbor second, and yourself third. Do you have faith that the current educational model can get to a point of true equity and opportunity and the achievement gap can be closed?
Well, I believe strongly that schools say they want parent involvement, but I don't think they really want parents to come in and kind of dictate to them what needs to be done. And I don't think it can change without parent involvement. I think the schools have got to do a better job of being able to inform parents what needs to be done, to be able to give them the tools to help. I look at something like, what's it, Comon? something.
Tutoring.
Yeah, Kumon. Kumon. And you watch, you know, everything now is pay to play. And so when parents don't have the ability to pay to get their kids that extra help, how are we going to solve that? And how do we get those things to the different parents?
And once again, low-income families, regardless of color, are most deeply impacted.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'd like to thank both of you for the time and the insights today. It is truly appreciated.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
That is Black Men Read co-founder Dr. Tamara Tucker Ibarisha and Reading Volunteer Minister Daryl Johnson. Washtenaw United is produced in partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County and presented every Monday. To access more information on today's program and visit the Washtenaw United Archive, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.